This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Episode 8, yeah?
It is indeed episode 8.
Episode 8.
Coming to you live from Grimsby and Manchester.
We had
a fantastic evening last night.
We did. You came and joined kind of my lot, didn't you? On a Zoom quiz.
Yeah.
Hosted by the famous Joe Farah.
Yeah, the Manchester gang. And it was fun. It was fun. Although I managed to get a full 8 hours sleep on my bathroom floor.
Yeah, man, you look rough. Your missus sent my missus a picture. And I like actually that Charlotte give you a little blanket, a little pillow and stuff.
She made me a little bed, bless her. But what I did do is because we was on the Zoom and I did the old arm just pop into the toilet trick. And then never came back down. And Charlotte was still sat downstairs for an hour on Zoom with you guys. And then she closed it all down, come upstairs. And as she was walking up the stairs, I sort of barged pasta with my hand over my mouth because I was going to be sick. And the next thing it all just went. So I've been scrubbing walls today.
Scrubbing walls. And go on, you've been scrubbing walls. What did you say?
Yeah, I'm never sick. Never sick. And I didn't really drink that much. I don't know.
You're having house.
I can't even say that I got spiked either because it was only me and my wife. So. Got a clue what was going on, but all in all, fantastic evening. Thank you very much for having us, and yeah, Joe Farah for hosting the quiz.
How's your week been, T? We had Danny last week, we've taken to recording these the night before now, so we can kind of stay a bit in the loop with the audience, which is nice. So
yeah, my week's been good. I've been playing a lot of golf. A lot of the other two things that I've just mentioned off the podcast, which I won't repeat. It's just been good weather and it's been good. What about you?
Yeah, it's been a nice week, man. My youngest turned one. So we had a little birthday. Which is weird because obviously it's, first birthday, obviously you want to pull out all the stops normally and, you know.
Yeah, like with the spoons and all that.
Pub crawl. Obviously. But this year was a bit different. We had a little Zoom party with grandparents and a couple of friends and things like that, really. It was nice, you know. Luckily enough, she's kind of young enough not to want a big, lavish birthday party yet. But yeah, no, really nice. And then we had the last couple of days, we've been having a little bit of a festival kind of vibe, mostly yesterday. There was an online festival for kids. So we watched that and did the living room up as a little festival, a little teepee in the corner and stuff. So it was nice.
Oh, nice, mate. Nice, nice, nice. Well, this week we've got a cracking guest again, haven't we?
We have indeed, man. I think we said at the end of last week's episode, someone that we've wanted on the podcast for a long time. Was supposed to be our first live guest last summer, but that gig got cancelled. He's a busy man. He's, you know, like Daniel last week, I guess, he's one of them actors that just pops up in everything.
Yeah. He pops up in, and I think we touched base on it in the chat, that so Tom was actually in The Virtues with Shane Meadows. He was a barman. Which was great. It was great to see him have a more of a serious role. I know he writes and directs a lot of his own stuff anyway. But yeah, he was great in that. And yeah, it was really funny seeing Tom Davis stood next to Stephen Graham because the height difference is just, I mean, how tall is Tom? Is he 6'9"?
I don't know. Tall, innit? He's tall, innit? He's tall, innit?
Yeah. Yeah. Big man. He's a big man.
Big man. As well. What a bloke, man. What a bloke. Like, we touched on it in the chat as well. Like, we first met kind of at a random Channel 4 party. I think This Is England 86 had just come out, and the Morgana show, what he was doing. And just we've all just kind of hit it off with him from there, haven't we, really? I kind of keep in contact with him a fair bit, and yeah. I know you do, and he's quite pally with Vicky, isn't he, in that nowadays, and Steve.
Yeah, I think he's really, really good friends with Vicky. I met him the same time as you. But yeah, I've always admired his work and his work ethic. I know he's worked ridiculously hard. And where he came from as well. Like, I think his story is great. It's very similar to ours. Yeah, I think he's very, very talented, and he's working hard to achieve the great things that he's got in life, and he's a true sort of example of you're never too old to chase what you want to do, because how old's Tommy? He must be 40 nearly.
I reckon so. I'm nearly 30, so I reckon he must be nearly 40 at least. I reckon
40. You know, and he was late to the business, but he's a true example to, you know, as if to say, just follow your dreams no matter what age you are, really.
Oh, it's very busy of you. I've
got a lot of time for him, I know.
Yeah, and his subject was fads, and we talked a little bit as well on, like, party tricks, which
party trick.
I really enjoyed.
What's your party trick? We did talk about this in the episode, did we?
Yeah, I can't remember what I said. I don't think I can do this weird spit thing that you've seen.
But yeah, Charlotte can do that.
Well, if I put pressure under my tongue.
I'm going to show you my party trick right now, please.
Yeah, oh, Tomo's going to show us his party trick. I've got a feeling this is... All right.
Football. Wait. This is my party trick. I don't know why I can do it.
But you can.
But I can. And I just picked up a ball one day and I was like, oh, I'm good at that.
Nice.
Charlotte, I've got a football in the house.
I felt like I was watching The Last Dance then.
Well, there you go.
but yeah, so party tricks is one of them. And then fads. We talk a little bit about around the time you just sort of discovered TikTok. And now I've seen a little video today. You've just surpassed 1 million views, have you, on a video?
One video. Yeah, I'm very, very close to getting 1 million views. So, I mean, things are going to fucking change around here. I demand respect.
Demand respect.
Demand respect, and I'm going to start smoking cigars.
So, yeah, guys, we're gonna roll the chat with Tom in a sec. But what we want you to do is get back involved. You used to be really vocal on Twitter, on Instagram, etc. Show us your party tricks, just to wind Tom up, if anything else. Let us know what daft fads you hate or love or whatever. And yeah, just get chatting, really, I guess. And we'll see you after the chat with Tom. We might let you know who next week's guest is. We'll be kind, won't we, T? We'll let them know.
I don't even know what it is yet, so yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lockdown.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So we've just been chatting before we started recording. As you guys know from the intros and looking on, we've got a brilliant friend of ours who we've known for a long time, Tom, and we're both huge fans.
Oh, yeah. Mate, I'm massive fans of you boys. It's a weird one. I was saying before we came on, I came into this industry just after the film, I guess. It was the first year you boys had done the TV show.
Yeah, because we met at the Channel 4 party.
Yeah.
And then we went to the hospital.
Yeah.
We went to that club, didn't we?
Yeah, we went to that bad club. And then it was like, I was still scaffolding at the time. So I'd done no TV, and I knew, obviously, you know, this is England. So, and I remember going to that party and like thinking, man, what the fuck am I doing here? And then I started talking to soccer in the toilet. And then met all you boys and Chanel and everyone, and you know, all of you now have become, because it was the only, all of your careers I look at and think you're sort of like kindred spirits. You all come from a similar background to me. There's not a lot of working class people, like what I sort of deem really working class in this industry, you know? So it's sort of, yeah, it's great to chat to you boys.
You've just said there about, I mean, I still feel like that now when in some situations that I find myself in, when you've just said, what the fuck am I doing here? But I guess that's the working class in us, isn't it? And that's like, that's being grateful and just being like, just realising how lucky we are to be in the situations that we are in. And that, like that Channel 4 night that we first met, I was there and I was thinking, stood talking to Jimmy Carr and, and you know, all of these amazing people, and you do think, fucking hell, how have I managed to get myself here? But I guess
the only other person I spoke to apart from you lot was Jon Snow from the news.
I thought you meant Jon Snow as in Kit Harington.
He was still just Kit Harington then. He wasn't even Jon Snow.
I remember.
And then down here is Targaryen walks in. I remember dragging in the smoking shelter.
I remember at one point speaking to Derren Brown and Jimmy Carr, two of my absolute like heroes. And Jimmy Carr just turned around to Derren Brown and went, "Tell him, then. Tell him." So I was like, "What?" He went, "He's got you thinking you're in a TV show. Tell him, Derren. Tell him."
It was such a good night. I've not been invited back.
I haven't.
That. We're not allowed.
No. Also, like that was. Because it's a weird thing, because the sort of that felt like the pomp of like TV industry. Like I remember when we were doing. I ended up going like I remember that thing ended up at 2, and then you guys were, "Oh, let's go on." And I remember going down the street with you boys, and I think Chanel was giving Chanel a piggyback. It was a smash. And the next day, I had to shoot all the promos for the Morgana show, and I didn't even sleep. I left from the hotel and went to this massive studio to shoot these promos. And all I had to do the whole day was doing this redneck character, and I had to eat these ribs. And you know, like when you go, and I'd never act, so I was not I'm not a trained actor. I've never trained. I was like, I'd done stand up. So they're like, this guy's like, "All right, what's your character? What are you gonna do?" And I was like, "I'll just eat these ribs." And he's like, "You sure about that?" And I was like, "Yeah, fucking cool, that's cool." My head, I didn't think, like, it's an advert. I'm going to be doing it fucking time. Honestly, 7 hours of eating these sticky ribs.
That's schoolboy error, mate.
Early
when
days.
People say, do you want to eat in this scene? Because I did exactly that when we shot Summerstown with Shane Meadows. We were shooting in a cafe, and I said to Shane, I went, "Oh, I want to eat a bacon sandwich," because we was in this cafe and I was hungry at the time. I was like, "Well, I want to eat a bacon sandwich in this scene." He was like, "Are you sure?" And I went, yeah, I want to eat a bacon sandwich. Take 28, I'm eating this dry sandwich. Bless the art department and the props department. They try and keep it as fresh as they can, but if they've got to try and keep a fucking bacon sandwich fresh for 8 hours, it's like, and then by the end of it, it's like, but yeah, it's a schoolboy era that, but like you learn shit like that the longer you're in the industry. Now if there's a meal, I just sort of go, woo,
I'll stand in the background. 1p at a time.
The absolute guy, right, is what's Tony Soprano. Go back and watch Sopranos, and he plays with his food. Seldom does he ever put it in his mouth. He's always got a plate of pasta and he's just stirring it around, or he's got something and he might just throw a little bit in his mouth. But like, that was my thing where I'm like, never fucking again.
You learned the hard way off the back of a session.
I think it was that and fucking a session with you lot.
it was a big night, but but then you, I mean, like your body of work's mint, like you've got so much, like Murder and Successful, I'm a huge fan of.
Thank you, man.
Because not then we always go on to such and such from, and like on this one, it's like Tom Davis from Everything,
you know, the big guy in Everything.
It's a mad. Thing,
and Soccer Aid, mate. Like, that's a bit. I've been trying for years. I reckon I tag him in a video on Instagram every other week when I'm ready. I'm ready. Whenever you want it, I'm there waiting. But no, that's what's that like? Is it obviously it's been put back now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been put. Hopefully, it's this year. I really hope it is, because I think it's sort of the sort of thing that hopefully, you know, people will need. So later this year, but. Yeah, it's a mad. The thing is, I sort of played a bit. I used to play Sunday League, but always hungover. And I was always about the boys having a beer after. I mean, my whole life was sort of football.
A bit like Jamie Vardy.
Yeah.
Oh, he's amazing. He's such a geezer.
I love Vardy. He's incredible. There's a tip that you might play him in a film, right? That's the one that people say. No, it's Pickford.
Jordan Pickford. Yeah, Pickford or Gary Monk. One of the two. Or it might be Lewis Capaldi nowadays.
Honestly, yeah.
There's so many people that I get tagged in on Instagram and stuff saying, oh, he looks like him. Just anyone who's not very good looking, I get tagged in.
It's a weird, like, oh, mate, I don't even get that. I don't even get famous people. I get like, yeah, usually someone called Douglas or something. Like, there's a fat guy with glasses and a beard. And someone goes, you will look like this bloke in Sainsbury's.
Have you ever been tagged in one that you've actually been blown back by and gone, whoa, yeah, that actually does look like
I'll tell you, and I'll send it to you both, right? There's an old Pizza Hut box, and on that Pizza Hut box is a geezer who's got his mouth open, he's got a bit of pizza, and he looks the spit of me.
Really?
And loads of people were like, fucking hell, like, you smashed it, you got that fucking big Pizza Hut money. Like, and I'm like, that's not even me. That's a guy who just, that's not a fat dude eating pizza. I'm like that, but that one looks suspicious. Even I had to think, fucking hell, have I been in Pizza Hut and someone's taking a snap of me? And I have never seen anyone enjoy pizza this much. He's got globally on all of our boxes.
I love it. What about you, Andy? Has anyone ever said that you look like anyone?
Yeah, I think same as what Tom just said then, because again, I'm a big guy, glasses, a beard, normally have a hat on. Like, it's a look, innit? I think it's a look, Tom. I think we do it well. But yeah, I've had a few people. There's a lad who follows me on Twitter, and he looks a lot like me. He's been to a few, like, the football matches we've played in the past, Tomo, and he looks a bit like me.
Really?
Which is strange, yeah.
Me and you, Andy, have that thing that we look like. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, like, he looks a bit like my cousin's mate. Like, you've got, like, 8 or 9 celebrity lookalikes, Turgus. Yeah, and me and Andy are like,
but, I mean, they all look fat like guy looks like
Capaldi. but everyone you're talking about is legendary. You know, Pickford.
Yeah. But to be fair, there was... I went to a gig in Manchester, a Lewis Capaldi gig, and we went for a drink after. And there was a photo taken of me and Lewis. And it's the face that we're pulling, we genuinely look like we could be brothers. Like, it's weird. But I don't think, like, now, I don't think I look like him. But I think if you catch me at the arse end of a 3-day bender, maybe I look a bit like him.
Oh, he's going to take that.
Yeah, I'm not bothered. He doesn't scare me.
I like the idea that Capaldi would turn around and go, what, if I gave up drinking, I'd look like Thomas Turgis.
Yeah, maybe he can have all my film roles. He can have it. And I'll be Lewis Capaldi for a week.
Fuck it. Yeah, no, I'd love to be him.
No, one of my... We was just talking about this just before we... before we started recording, one of my favorite, like, just it was a very small bit, but probably my favorite bit in the whole of The Virtues on Channel 4 was the bit with you and Stephen. Like, what was that like doing that? Because obviously we know what it's like working with Steve.
Well, both, like, so Steve, I've known since I've known you guys, and like, I think, you know, is like, as an actor and as a man, really, but he's just an incredible human being. And it's a few people that I think for us, him, Vicky, Martin Compston, Danny Mays, these guys, I think, have led that sort of path that we're kind of walking down a bit now as working class. And you guys, really, from This Is England, for that whole cast. But then Shane, because for me, it was a mad one. So Shane contacted me, like, through, I think it was Vicky. I think Vicky had, like, linked me with Shane, because Shane was a massive Modern Successful fan. And, like, you know, every bit of Shane's work is, like, I'm obsessed with. So I sort of went out and knocked him for dinner with him, and we chatted and whatever. And then he just got in touch about doing that. And it was the most crazy thing. I had no idea what working with Shane would be like. And then we went to this pub in Sheffield, and there was no SAs. It was just real people. It was like 9 o'clock at night, him and Johnny, the producer, like, and I was like, are these SAs? These are extras? And they're like, no, this is just fucking real people.
He's just
fucking leathered, right? And then he's like, we just told people that you're a new guy who's working in the pub. So I was like, this feels like fucking improvised, like, next level. Yeah. Like, I'm dyslexic, so any improvisation is my fucking thing. And anyway, and then the scene, basically, as it played out, we were there for like 3 or 4 hours, just shot it different ways and whatever. But the more Steve came in and he was like acting fucked and whatever, and people, they loved him because he was buying everyone drinks, right? And then I'm the guy going, no, come on, mate, fuck off. And everyone's all these fucking shuffle, go, fuck off, mate. It's fucking you. You've only been here for a fucking minute, you fat cunt. And one guy, I started having a bit of an argument with this fella. And Steve's like, you know, and Steve comes over and he was like, sort of half backing me because it started getting a little bit heated. And then
who's stupid enough to pick a fight with you?
Fuck, this guy was when you, like, so I turned around to Steve, like, this guy's fucking, what a lunatic. And I turned around to the lady who ran the pub, I went, yeah, guy there, it's just fucking, add it into me. And she went, oh yeah, he's a fucking bit of a loon. About 8 years ago, he stabbed his sister's boyfriend. He's just got out of Nick. And I was like, what the fuck? After that, I'm going, do you want another beer, pal? Go to bedroom, added him on Facebook. But it was the most surreal, like, yeah, it was an incredible thing to be a part. And I've not done any drama either, you know. It's not like, it's not been in my remit. It's not something that, like, I'd like to do it, but you sort of get put into a thing, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, no, it was a treat to watch how Stephen gradually went on to him walking in the pub. I mean, it was just like,
But
it was shot amazingly, but like you said before, we know, because when we shot the wedding scene for This Is England 90, Shane put money behind the bar for the whole thing. And he said, celebrate Woody and Lol's wedding. It's been coming for a long time. And he said to you, whoever you, as actors or as Tomo and Andy, go out and Mike Soccer, and you know, and Andrew Shim, he put money behind the bar for us and just said, celebrate this series, celebrate everything we've all done. And we all got tanked up. And then Shane and Mark got into an old costumes, didn't they? Can you remember, Andy? And they come in, and we was all dancing around, and the cameraman was just shooting around us. And then Shane and Mark come in old costumes and got involved with us. We was all having a dance, and it was brilliant. I just think Shane's way of shooting is just incredible.
He's just like, you know, he's sort of one of a kind, really. I'd sort of bite someone's hand off to work with him again. And just as a bloke as well, you know, he's, you know, there's, I think, you know, sort of, you know, for me, I was like, you know, when I heard of The Virtues and when he said about it, I was like, that's a hell of a thing just to put sort of a comedian in something like that and have the vestige that I wasn't going to just fuck about. And, you know, and he was, you know, he sort of trusted, he was just like, let go of your instincts on it. He's like, genuinely, and I look at the stuff he's made. I mean, This Is England for me is as best good a TV as this country's like ever made. As far as you can take television or film back, it's you boys.
Oh, and, thanks, mate.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything. I think it's genuinely the best. Those series were just, what's incredible about it is, you know, when you watch it, is the, you know, the drama side of it, and you're so vested in the characters, but also the humour of growing up in an area where you haven't got anything. I don't think we've done that in comedy enough. I don't think that the friends you have and that loyalty you have between each other, I don't think it's ever... That's what I think. It didn't matter if you're from Manchester, Nottingham, London, Portsmouth. You watched it and it was like, yeah, I grew up in this sort of world. And whether it was the 80s or the 90s, whatever, it just felt so real. And I think I think as... You know, I remember when the first was it? I think it was it 86, the first one?
The first series was 86.
Yeah. And I remember just thinking, wow, like, fucking hell. Like, it was one of the few things where you watch and you go, well, the rest of us could just give up.
No, don't you give up, mate. Who else are we going to laugh at trying to ice skate? So if the court come in, Shane Meadows is making a series about a giant ice skater, I mean, where would have you seen that, Andy, Tom trying to ice skate?
Oh, man.
Oh, no, what's this?
Was it on a League of Their Own?
League of Their Own road trip, yeah.
Germany. I've seen bits of that. That was class, man. That was a fun job.
Oh, it's mad. Do you know the best bit? And they cut it out and I'm so annoyed. So I do that thing and then I cheated to win the challenge. And then the guy caught me cheating, this German guy. And it's all real. Like, you know, the whole thing is, you know, it's all just as it happens. Then he comes in and we're in this room in front of everyone. And he was like, and he dug into points from Tom and Freddie because Tom cheated. You've brought shame on Freddie Flintoff. You've brought shame on Liga de Ron and you've brought shame on Nuremberg. And I went, hold up for a fucking second. Fucking Nuremberg. Didn't hit the start of the rallies here. I mean, fucking, I could have had a wank in the middle of the ice rink. I couldn't have brought fucking shame on Nuremberg. Nuremberg's cloaked in fucking shame.
True.
They cut that.
That's like a dream job, that, isn't it?
Yeah, man. You know, you say about earlier, boy, I'm so fortunate. You know, I was fucking like scaffolding. And I've been doing that all my life, really. I've done a couple of little jobs here and there, like other little things. But like, so every day that I do this, I feel so blessed. I feel so like, so, and I take it for what it is. I take like this is.
Oh, we've lost him.
Into this industry.
Oh, we've and got then, you so, back now. We lost you a little bit sorry, mate.
So no, it's humbling and I'm blessed. And so the route I've come in is so unusual to do this and to be being a part of it. So those moments, like, you know, Virtues or doing League of Their Own. I was watching League of Their Own when I was still on building sites. So it's incredible to now be a part of something like that.
And yeah.
I think like whenever I did a thing with Vicky that Vicky and Steve both did a thing called Action Team that I wrote a couple of years ago to be doing stuff with them, and they're both, you know, dear friends of mine. It's, you know, you've got, I think that's the big thing of this industry. It could be hard at times because you might not get a job, you might lose out on an audition or da da da. But to be doing this and to be doing it day in, day out, and actually that is what is your job, and you're like, you know, to act, to make people,
whatever that is. It's bizarre when you get paid for what we do, isn't it? It really baffles me sometimes.
Especially that League of Their Own, because essentially it's like being on a stag do for like a week.
Yeah, I bet it is, because it's such like a laddie show as well. Yeah. Isn't it? And all the boys that are hosting it, like I've not met any like Flintoff or anyone like that, but they sit and Redknapp, but they seem like proper down to earth guys, like
such nice blokes, you know, such down to earth. Good fellas, you know, they
sportsmen, aren't they?
That's... I think that's the other thing. I mean, I remember when, you know, this is England kicked off, and you're like, you meet these people, sports people, like musicians, and you do get like a little giddy. You're like, fucking hell, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's the real lads in our
looking, yeah. It's still not, like you say, things like A League of Their Own, like you were watching when you're on building sites, and that.
Yeah.
And I'm the same now. Like sometimes you'll see someone and you're like, fucking hell, that's like, you know, I grew up watching.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Feeling.
I was thinking, someone, if I ever did Coronation Street, I reckon I'd lose my shit. Like,
yeah, you do that bit, don't you? Because they're in your house every night, isn't it? Like,
I grew up watching, and to be honest, the only time that I've ever really been stuck for words and not really known what to say was when I met Bruce Jones, who played Les Battersby.
Oh, yes.
I met him in Manchester Piccadilly, and he was at the bar, and I called him Les,
which straight off, he was just like, thought I was a knob. I must have been 15, I must have been. But I remember, like, not knowing what to say. I was like, hey, you still got the cab company? You still working at the cab? I didn't know. It really freaked me out. So I think if I went and did Coronation Street now, I'd be like, do you know what I mean? Talking to fucking gay old Platt. I think it's...
Lose your shit.
I wouldn't know what I was doing.
There's this great story that someone told me. I don't know how true it is. I hope it's true. But out in Croydon one night, do you remember Beppe DiMarco from EastEnders?
Yeah, of course.
And apparently he was out in Croydon. He used to go out with a glamour model called Lindsay Dawn McKenzie, I think. And basically, he was out in Croydon for a night and some geezer just walked up and just cracked him, like, give him a dig. And Beppe DiMarco fell back. And the fella was like a proper face around where I grew up. And he turned around, he went, Grant Mitchell should have done that ages ago. And I love, right, that the geezer was a fucking naughty character, right? He's a bit of a geezer, but he watched EastEnders so much that he took such umbrage and was like, if I ever fucking, he's been rumping Tiffany behind Grant's back. If I ever see him, I'm going to fucking slap him.
That's fucking mint. But it is like, because you spend so much time, they spend so much time in your front room, they're in it like 4 or 5 times a week or whatever. It's it's bizarre. It's so bizarre, like how yeah, I think I would lose my shit if I ever did that. Yeah. If I ever did like Coro or something. But I guess it's like, yeah. I don't know. I think I'd lose my shit. But so we obviously you've listened to the podcast before, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So you know that we get a guest on. They come on with an overrated subject.
Yeah.
And when you sent me yours, I thought it was brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
So you got two, didn't you? Do you want to start?
Yeah, it's two that lead into one, really. So first, it's like what I meant by like, so it's fads. It's like fad things, right? So like fucking flossing, right?
Yeah.
Like it's a thing that. So I was doing it. You know, you like do shows, and someone says to you, can you floss? Like, as a part of the show, at the end of the show, everyone's going to floss. I'm like an entertainment show, and I'm like, I'm a 40-year-old man.
With no can you floss, though?
No, because I'm a 40-year-old man with no kids, Tomo. Like, if I could floss...
I'm a 30-year-old man with kids, and I can do it.
Yeah, of course. You are, right? So this is, right, when I sent that to you, I was like, I'm going to go in hard on TikTok. And then I see you fucking put a TikTok up last night.
Yeah, baby.
I was like, Tomo's the fucking king of the fad. I was like, anybody, what was the woman people just lied flat? You know that one?
The lie flat one?
They were just, people would just be lying there. It's not like a planket. Was it a plank or not like the plank?
It was the plank years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was.
Where like, you lay, where you plank like that?
No. People would just lay dead straight.
Yeah.
And
I think it was called like the plank challenge or something.
Yeah, that's it. Like those, like the ice bucket challenge and shit like that and fads and. And like no one really, everyone's like, but I don't know, flossing just fucking, it just annoyed me. It was like, I'll tell you what, I was doing, like I started trying to get fit and shit. And I started just watching one of those apps, like Chris Hemsworth's got an incredible app. Yeah. So I've been watching that. And the personal trainer on it is like this fucking hardcore Mexican MMA fighter, right? And he's taking you through all the different, you know, doing ground and pound or whatever. And then during one of the breaks, he was like, why don't you do this? And starts flossing. I turn the app off. I'm like, you're fucking prick. You undermined everything that I'm fucking into. What? Like, I get it. Like, if I don't know. I just find those things. So that then leads me on to, like, where people was. And I think it's like one of those things when you come, like, into entertainment and comedy and you do, like, 8 out of 10 cats or you'll do some show and someone will say to you, have you got any party tricks?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I am a party trick.
My party trick when I'm out with you, Tom, on the few times that we have been out, is if I, like, you know, like when you're out with your mates and you go to the bar and you're like, fuck, where is everyone? You literally go, oh, there's Tom, right, sound.
You know what, this is, years ago, I was at a fucking festival and I'm just standing there like...
Oh, I'd hate to be stood behind you at a festival.
Wait. Yeah, that's a killer. That and the cinema and the theatre, people go fucking crazy. So I'm standing there chatting to some pals. And this geezer comes up and he's like, are you going to be here for a while? And I'm like, what? And he went, are you going to be here for a while? And I'm like, yeah, no. It's probably going to be sort of like a couple of people I wanted to see going to be here. He said, oh, God, it's going to meet some people by you. Right? And I was like, meet some people by me? Like,
so you was a human flagpole?
Yeah, literally. So then about an hour and a half later, I didn't even think anything of it. A group of fucking mixed couples, all quite fucking middle class, come out and they were like, are you with Daniel? Daniel said to meet by you. I was like, who the fuck's Daniel? I said, oh, he texted us to say he was to meet by the big man in the dance tent.
Jeez.
I was like, no. I don't know where, I don't know who Daniel is or where he is. And they were like, oh, this is ridiculous. Because he said to meet by you. And I'm like, Daniel's a fucking prick. Like, yeah. And literally, they walk off and another group of people come over and they're like, are you where everyone's meeting Daniel? And I'm like, who the
Who's
fuck
Daniel?
Is this? The prick in the first one texting fucking people. So that thing of, so I'm like, I am a fucking party trick. I'm 6'7". I rock up. So when people say about party tricks and, you know, like, can you turn your eyeballs inside out? I'm like, that for me is like, they're the people. If I see someone who has those party trick things within a party, I'm fucking swerving them.
Yeah.
Because they've got nothing interesting to fucking say. Like, have you got a party trick? No, I'm just a fucking, I'm a roundy human being with personality.
It's just like a really low shit form of, like, it's like when people, like, now, if you do any of them kind of internet-based things or something, they normally do the, like, we're going to do Would You Rather? Would you rather?
Like, I know.
That's not entertaining.
And it's not, because it's like when someone turns to me and goes, have you got any funny stories when you're drunk? And I'm like, other people have got funny stories about when I was drunk. But
I was so drunk I can't fucking remember them.
I'm like, that literally was my skill, was I'd turn up and I'd get battered and I'd have a laugh. I was like, I'd never ever go up and purposely go, oh, I'm going to drink a pint like this.
Yeah.
Crack an egg in your bicep.
That's what I'm saying.
You tried doing that the other week as a little fad thing on TikTok, so...
Really?
Well, I guess, like, just going back to the fad things, like, I'm quite... I don't know whether it's an age thing, because, with Andy, you've got kids. So I spend quite a lot of time on social media. So if I see something like I can't remember who it was first. I think it was Ollie Mears. I saw him trying to crack an egg in his bicep.
Yeah, I thought.
I don't know. I just thought, I could fucking do that. I could easily do that. It's only an egg. And then I do it. And then I
Is it what? Like a raw egg?
Just an egg. Yeah.
Just an egg. An egg, yeah. And try and crack it with your hand.
But apparently Tomo did it.
Do you think you could do it, Tom?
I'm not doing it on the basis that this feels like the fucking most, like...
When you do it, Tom, tag three other people.
And also, like, I was 15 on a fucking building site where people would go, oh, see how long you can hold some fucking sand above your head? And someone come over with a standing blade. Fucking do ya. So, me getting with an egg going, oh, yeah, this is impossible.
No, it really is, mate. You can't do it, genuinely.
I'll tell you what, yeah. For you, right, Turgus, because I love you. I will try it and I'll put it on Instagram for you.
All right.
That is against my culture.
but you won't be able to do it.
Really?
You will not be able to do it.
Right. So in a way, right. So what you're like, so that in a sense, right. I look at that and I think actually that is like a challenge, right. In a sense.
Yeah.
I guess the ones that like TikToks, if someone's thought about something, Like you put one up, and genuinely, I you come up on my Instagram feed, I think, this morning, Tom, and like you did a thing with a sheet, and then you disappeared.
Oh, the blanket thing.
Yeah. But I was like, that's quite clever. Like that felt different enough, right? I don't know if other people have done it. You're the first person I've seen do it. It's when people do the same fucking dance or the same thing. Like, there's so many people now, and it's like, I mean, do you know, like, who almost like I think the worst thing about like. Like, coronavirus is shit, but if you watch Nicole Scherzinger's fucking Instagram with that dickhead she's going out with, my word, you're like,
I've not seen it. Am I in for it?
Oh, man. They're doing, like, dances together, duets together.
Wow. Really?
And this is annoying. I used to respond, I mean, this is a lot about me. I kind of respected Nicole Scherzinger as a human being. I was like, yeah, you know, she's pretty cool. She's pretty fucking happening. She's like, I tried to get on Murder Successful like for the last 2 years. I was like, she seems like a good, like, she'd be a good laugh. I watched those videos. I was like, you misguided prick. You know nothing about humanity.
Oh, look, I've been trying to get Charlotte involved with TikToks and she's not having none of it. She won't get involved.
I think, is TikTok just a thing while you're in isolation bored, though? Or like, because a TikTok for me, like, my 10-year-old little cousin, she has it. And I think, right, that's what TikTok is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like little girls doing all this and stuff.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's their thing. Let them do it. But now, like, all my mates have got it and stuff. And I'm like, what? Is it?
I think. But I guess it's selective viewing. It's like, if you want to see teenage girls wearing hardly any clothes doing the dancing, then you can watch that. But what you can do is...
You shouldn't be watching that.
I meant 19.
I was going to say. I like the fact that you're advocating, like, yeah, if you want to be a bit nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to be nonsense, you can take that. You can put an X next to them, so that sort of thing doesn't come up. So, like Tom's just been saying, the thing that I did with a blanket, or there's another one with a cigarette that I make disappear, or like I'm not, you know, people are very much following the fads by like doing all the dance moves. But like you said, it's all just the same thing.
Yeah,
it's exactly the same thing. Whereas you can sort of selectively pick what you want to choose. Like you could, like say the things that you love, Tom, would be comedy, football, and whatever you want to do. And then it would pick your feed for you.
But then you cross pollinate, right? So, like I'm on TikTok. So, and like Andy, obviously you're not on TikTok, right?
I went on it once, but I don't know.
So, and and I've got no problem with the fact. But then I'm like, then you put TikToks on Instagram and Twitter. So it's coming up. So that's like if you sat down to watch The Irishman as a film, and halfway through The Irishman, it became In Between Us. You'd be like, what's going on? I didn't sign up for this. It comes out like that.
That's a great idea for a foot. Don't be writing that. Is that what you're writing in a minute?
No. Well, The Irishman, but it's like The In-Betweeners.
Yeah, imagine that. No, but it's like, I guess that is a fad though. And everything that I'm doing, I'm seeing little challenges, like little football things or things with with like a golf club, or I'm sort of picking up on these little things like, and I think, well, if everyone else is doing it, I'll do it. Do you know what I mean?
But I don't have a problem with the challenges. I suppose, in a sense, like the ice bucket challenge, which wasn't really a challenge because, like...
Well, people was doing it and not donating, weren't they? Do you know what I mean? People are just getting behind it and forgetting what it was for.
And also, we've all been out on a night where someone's going to fucking dash you with a fucking big old, like, whatever. So it's hardly a challenge. You're not going to walk away from the ice bucket challenge and go... You know what, I feel more around a human being because someone...
It's not like jumping out of an airplane, is it? Do you know what I mean?
No.
What I try and do is always like make them, if you do stuff like that, is make them a little bit better.
Yeah.
I mean, like you say, like people going, oh, with a bucket and stuff like that. I'll post my sister's on the overrated Instagram, but she wanted to do one, my sister, and I was like, well, we've got to do it better than everyone else is.
Yeah.
So I stood on the roof and filled up a wheelie bin.
Fuck.
And mate,
Jesus. Honestly,
the sound of the water leaving the wheelie bin is like...
See, I have respect for that, right? And that's the thing, Tom, like...
So I can't wait to see your 5K run nomination, by the way, Andy. Let's see you fucking up that one.
Ellis does 50K.
You nominated me yesterday to do, what is it, 5K
run 5, donate 5 and nominate 5. So you've got run 5K, donate £5, and then nominate 5 people to do it.
Which, again, I love the sentiment, but I can't run 5K.
Well, walk it then. And this is a whole argument that Tom doesn't need to be involved in. What was you saying, Tom? Sorry, mate.
No, but even that, right, I respect the 5-5-5 thing. And actually, even with, like, the football challenges and what Andy's talking about of making things better. So, like, the golf thing. Like, I did that 7-touch challenge, right, this week for Soccer Aid. But I couldn't do, like, one kick-up. So by the end of the day, I did 7, right? So, admittedly, they weren't the 7-touch challenge.
I was going to say, I was watching that thinking, how the fuck's he managed to get in there and I can't? I'm doing round the world. I can do over. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's the point. I'm there for the comic relief. but by the end of the day, I'm like, oh, I can actually keep a ball up for 7 touches. So I've learned something. I've furthered on as a, you know. So in that sense, but what I mean about TikTok and the floss is like, there's never going to be a time when you're going to a job interview and someone turns around and says, right, well, your CV is amazing. We think you're a perfect candidate for this job, but can you floss? I just think, like, and also they're outdated so quickly. Yeah. Like, you could spend so long learning the floss, right? And just as you get good at it, it becomes outdated. And, like, you literally will be, like, I mean, you would never go to a pub or a club and floss. You haven't.
I probably have at some point. I mean, maybe at a, I don't know, at a 50th or, you know, but I mean,
Like now, it's like, you know, like, what's
you look so embarrassed.
You know, like the Macarena or like
Saturday. Yeah, yeah.
Like, do you reckon in the future, like, they'll put on, I don't know, Baby Shark or something, or the what's on your floss?
Well, Baby Shark was a fad as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, but Baby Shark, and actually, when you talk about the Macarena, it's like, there's different moves.
Yeah.
The floss is just like...
Yeah,
All I could look at, right, Andy, is how embarrassed Tomo looks without the fact he's just admitted...
I'm just saying, it's not as easy as it looks, mate. That's all I'm saying.
No, but also, like... You could even if you did the golf chat thing with the golf ball and kept it out. If I was out with you on the piss and you saw a golf club and did that keep it uppy thing, I would go, that guy's fucking cool. If you were in a fucking corner of a pub and you were flossing, I would get my gang of mates together and go, let's finish these pints and kick the granny out of that cunt.
There was a time where the flossing, I remember I was at... it must have been a 30th or something like that. We went to the Linden Club just round here with Charlotte, and all of the kids are doing it. All of them, they're all over the dance floor. Yeah. All of the kids, and me 30 years old. But there's so many of them. But then it's weird how it starts as a kid fad, doesn't it? But then the parents then get involved in it, and then it then goes onto social media, and then the adults then get onto it. It's a funny thing, isn't it? It's like, I suppose it's like clothing brands and things. It's what everyone's doing. If everyone's wearing a Stone Island jumper, then I'll go. I remember what I saw Soccer wearing a nice Stone Island coat, and I went, oh, I'm going to get myself a Stone Island. It's like I've seen someone do the floss, so I think, oh, I'll give that a go.
Yeah, but then I would be like inclined to say I'm a sheep when it comes to certain fashion things, or I would like go, I'd see someone in something, I'm like, I think for me it's just like. And you summed it up there. Like when I saw the floss and I saw like, my nephew did the floss, right? He's 5. I'd be like, well, bless him. You know? And like, I fucking love you. Like you're one of my favorite fucking, you know? And I think Ellis can agree with me. If we were ever out and you did the floss, that I genuinely would just go, I can't have him.
Yeah, I'm off. Like, yeah.
I'm going to do it. But you know now,
I know you will. No, of course you will do it now. But it's a weird thing of like those, I don't know. I just find, because like I've been out with you a couple of times, had beers, right? And you're a great person, too. Both of you. I remember that Adidas drink we had, Ellis, years ago, where everyone was meant to come. It was just turned out with me and Ellis.
What's this?
Me and Ellis. Loads of people meant to come. Everyone had been invited to this mess. Who was it? It was like someone had amazing range.
Like some mad Adidas thing, wasn't it? Yeah.
In Shoreditch.
We were really drunk. It was when I lived down south. It was brilliant.
Yeah. It's a good night.
I mean, my invite must have got lost in the post, but it sounds like it was a good night.
It was great. There was no flossing, but I like a booze with people, a good conversation. I find if someone's got that sort of party trick, they're trying to weasel into stuff. It's like if you go on a stag do, and someone turns around and calls. If someone turns around and goes like, oh, yeah, we're going to go to stag do, and Alfie's coming, and you're like, oh, sweet, yeah. And Alfie's a nutter. You want to see him when he's drunk. And I'm like, Alfie's a prick.
Yeah.
I don't want to be anywhere near him when he's drunk. Like, you're basically already making excuses for the... Because usually you just go, oh, you're going to really like Alfie, right? Number one, you've got to say you're only going to like him when he's drunk, right? And you're already in your head going, like, but...
Yeah, you know, I can't be asked.
Yeah. And it's a sort of... I guess it's... I'm all for getting shots in. I'm all for like boozing. I love a drink, right? It's the added levels of people who have those weird parts. Like someone who can do a handstand in the middle of the park.
My mate Eve can do that, and he's done it. Like we've been out in Blackpool at 2 in the morning, and he's walking across the dance floor on his hands.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, like, I've said this on the podcast a few times, like, your stag do was pretty much what Tom just described.
Yeah.
There was a few incidents on your stag do, mate, like, where...
It was...
I mean, they got to a point, Tom, where me and Sokka looked at each other and just went, should we go home? We had to go and sit on the fucking Benidorm and just think about the choice we made.
Yeah, it was mental. Soccer got back from my stag do and didn't have he didn't touch any booze for 6 months or something.
Really?
It just ruined him.
Man, last time I saw Soccer, we went out and we were filming together in Bulgaria, and we went out for a night in Bulgaria, and it was one of the best nights I've ever had. But it was like crazy. I was like, this is nuts. Like the year before, I was with Lauren Soko in Bulgaria, and she kicked a foot off a fight.
That's not like Lauren.
In a hip hop night in Bulgaria, which was basically like an NF rally, and it was just me and Soko in the end of it, middle of it, going, "This is fucking crazy." But
that's mental. Have you got a party trick?
No, but this is the thing. Like drinking, like I used to do a thing, right? So I used to do a thing where, do you remember Hooch and Bacardi Breezer?
I love Hooch.
First alcohol. And you do a thing.
Did Keith Lemon do an advert for it recently?
Yeah, he did, yeah. And you used to hold it back like that and just down it, and you dance with it in your mouth. And that used to be a thing, you'd be able to down like two. We'll do it when we go out, as long as you don't floss. No. So you just literally get like the bottle in your mouth, turn it upside down, and then you dance down the bottle, and then just try to do three or four in a row.
Because I can do my part. It's not the party trick.
The straw pedo.
Yeah, where you do it with a straw, and then you tip it, and you do it for like 2 seconds or something.
My party trick is getting to the end of the night and just saying, I'm off to the toilet, and then just going home, and then disappearing. It's disappearing.
Yeah, but that's mine. That is a party trick I respect.
Backdoor like boogie.
Yeah. I'll stop at a little like fast food. Mate, the worst one I had, right, when Uber first came out, I'd never done it, like used Uber before. So it was like, get Uber on your phone. I had some pals at like 2 a.m. I'm like, I'm going to get one of those Ubers. So I get an Uber and I'm smashed. And the driver is taking me around the longest route I've ever been on. I'm like, this guy's. So I get to my house, I jump out of the Uber and I do a runner. I fall over the curb, I fucking like do my ankle. Get in the house, I'm like, fucking prick, like that. And then I get a beep on my phone saying that I've already paid him. And he's just fucking...
Try doing a taxi run on an Uber.
But I'd already paid him. I'm like, oh, you fucking idiot.
Oh, I love it. Who do you support, Tom, football-wise?
West Ham.
I was going to say...
You're a West Ham fan.
Yeah. I love my West Ham. That's the thing as well. I think it's like with those party tricks and things and those sort of things where someone has to have a shtick and a moment, it's like I think I was probably the people I used to drink with and the people I'd respect were the people who'd be funny the whole night and drink, and like we're all like your stag do is probably was like my stag do is big characters, so I don't mind people getting leathered and being big characters and doing, but it's that person who has to then be the centre of attention doing something wacky.
That's what it is, I think.
And I'm like, I don't have a problem with people getting smashed, walking around like a fucking nightclub on their hands, or like, but it's someone who out of nowhere will have something I can fit 8 ping pong balls in my mouth. And you're like, what the fuck have you got 8 ping pong balls? Like, you thought about this, you fucking dickhead. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you should let them all punch him in and then just go like... But it'll be like a Thailand show.
Yeah. Someone who's premeditated that moment. I'm like, I like to go out and what happens. Like, if we went out and like your pal walked on his hands, I wouldn't go, like, because that could just happen when you're levered, right?
Yeah.
But if your pal turned around and was like, oh, I can fucking blow up a balloon with my arsehole, I'd be like, oh, we haven't got any balloons. And he'd go, oh, yeah, I have actually got a balloon. And you fucking knew this was going to happen. You've like
knowing that at one point in the night you
guess
what I can do, Jack.
you've made the whole night about this one moment and it's not gonna happen.
Like, but imagine having that one thing, like I at the premiere of Kingsman 2, we was in the after party and Dynamo was there and he came over and said hello. And then out of nowhere, he just whipped out this pack of cards. I guess he's that like, and then he did this trick with a Sharpie on my hand. And I guess, is that like a party trick? Or is
it's his job, but also, and like,
for but it's all like the, talking shop, isn't it?
Yeah, but I love Dynamo. Yeah, I've done quality. A couple of shows. He's a lovely guy, right? But if you were to turn around to me and go, and it was you two or Dynamo, who do you want to go out on a night out with? Like, for all the respect for him and what he does for a career, I would, because you wouldn't be getting on the shampoo. It's like magicians and people like that who, I guess I respect that as a craft, but I'm like, that is what it is. It's like,
yeah.
And he does that and it is his job. But if he came on your stag do and he was doing fucking card tricks all night, you'd be like, I think it's time you went home.
Yeah. that's like say you coming on our stag do, Tom, and just trying to be the joker. Or us going on yours and, you know, it being that centre of attention, I guess. I guess that's the thing, isn't it?
It's comics do it. People do it when they push a subject around to something that they've got material on.
Yeah.
And then you're standing there with them thinking, this is a bit, I've seen you do this on stage.
Yeah, and you're getting dragged into their routine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lloyd Griffith does that a lot.
I love Lloyd. He's a fucking guy, man. He's a funny fuck, man. He's like one of the, so Lloyd, right, is one of those people as a comedian. I don't find that at all. I find he's like all jokes. So I find Lloyd like really good company, likes a beer.
Yeah.
But is what he is. He's a laugh. He's funny. He's probably as funny off stage as he's on it, but you never feel with Lloyd that he's doing a bit. And I'm not going to name names, but there's comedians where I'm like, fuck me, man. Like, I'm not an audience. We're just having a conversation. And I guess that falls into a party trick. It's something that you've preordained before the night started or before. It's like dinner parties. I remember, like, I went to my first dinner party when I was, like, 32. And I, you know, there's many reasons I wanted to fucking blow my head off. But when people have preempt conversation and they have things that they could do and that just annoys me. It just bothers me.
Yeah. Do you find the pressure as a comedian? Like, so you did a lot of stand-up, didn't you?
Yeah.
Do you find that some comedians feel the pressure to always be funny?
No, because I always think I'm more than being a comedian. I was always doing this anyway. So for a majority of my life, for 20-odd years, 25 years, I was just very much working on building sites. I was just always, that's how I got through a day, would be having a laugh and having banter,
making people laugh.
Yeah, but no, I never went into a day going, you know, like, oh, I'm going to try and make people laugh. My day was like a fucking, when you scaffolded and you're like, fucking, it's boring. Like, you want to take the piss, you want to do stupid phone calls. So I probably find it easier having a laugh with people in this scenario than I do being on stage, because on stage, unless it's improvised, unless you're like going with the moment, I have serious, really bad ADHD. I'm dyslexic. So I find it really hard to sit and focus on something. So if I'm on stage, like, and someone heckles me, I'm like, great, fucking, like, Martin Compton used to come to a lot of my shows when he lived with me. And like, he used to be like, if you get heckled, it's like the best thing because you don't think about it. And then you're just having a laugh. Whereas if I'm doing my routine, I'm so concerned. It's like, you two boys come from a similar background of improvisation, right? If I think about a script too much, I know myself it's shit. I know when I'm doing the script, I'm like, if I could just change these three or four words every time, and I could just change it a little bit, it'd be so much better. But if I'm doing a script every time, it progressively gets worse and worse.
Because you're thinking about it more.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you've learned it too, it's like when I go for auditions, like, I don't know, I'm guessing the same, but if I overlearn it, if I know it too much, it's shit.
It just becomes words, that's all it does.
Yeah, you've kind of got to have a little bit of fluidity with it, do you know what I mean? Like, my missus goes mad because if she helps me self-tape sometimes, like, I'll say, like, the odd word or I'll add a word, and she's like, no, and I'm like, no, leave that, like.
Yeah,
yeah, Charlotte's the same, yeah.
But I think that's probably, so when I look at people who do that with party tricks, I almost put in my head as people who script, do stuff so on script. So, like, you know, I'm fortunate I've written stuff now that's been made, like, you know, and people come in to do ours. And when, like, Vicky, for example, came to Action Team and she was like, I don't really like this bit and that, but I'm like, do it as your own words. I'm not precious. So it's like I realise that you're going to want to do it in your own style. And I find it really hard. Like, and also the worst thing is, the more you want a job, the more you put that pressure on to get every word right.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes you just got to go with your instincts, though. Like, and I guess that's what it is. Like, what you've just been saying about when you used to get heckled and stuff. Like, that gives you a chance to go on your instincts and trust in that as well. Because I know, like, Lloyd, going back to that, he hates being heckled.
Oh, really?
He hates it. Yeah, he can't stand it. We went to, and I did it to him by accident. We went to, he was doing a gig in Southend or something like that. I was staying with him in London. We went down. So we went down and he sat me at the back because he didn't want me at the front. And I was sat down and he does his show and he said, oh, is there anyone in from Grimsby? And instinctively, I just went, hey, hey, Grimsby. And he went, oh, amazing. What's your name, mate? And I was like, it's Tomo. I came with you, mate.
Oh, bless him.
He switched off. But I didn't mean to heckle him.
So. Tomo just heard Grimsby for the first time ever anywhere else.
Yeah, so I was like, hey, Grimsby. Yeah, what's your name, mate? But sometimes, like, I think some comedians, like with Jimmy Carr, I think some of it, like, some of the people who try and heckle him, I think are amazing.
Yeah,
like just some of his comebacks.
But Jimmy's one of those people who's so quick. Mm. Like, I've done a couple of shows with him, and he's like lightning. Like, he's just almost like Floyd Mayweather. Of like, he's just like whether it's heckling, whether it's written, whatever. You can't see the seams. Like, I'm the opposite of like you can see when I'm doing a bit of my routine that I'm trying to remember. Because it's shit. It's fucking awful. I was supporting Ramesh and doing a couple of nights with Ramesh. I was like dying on my ass really bad. And then somehow a moth got into the fucking, on stage, right? And I just started fucking about with this moth and doing material about the moth. It was never, you know.
Yeah.
Killed it. It was like literally people were fucking messaging me for days and people have
it's like you're trying to ring moth agent. Yeah. And available moth.
But I was like,
still in the fucking cocoon. Get out of the fucking
cocoon. You got any brothers or sisters? No, they can't be any moth. He had great timing.
But it's great. That's what a great comedian does. I remember Kayvon Novak did are you familiar with Kayvon?
Yeah, I know Kayvon. Yeah, so
Kayvon came in and did a day on This Is England 86, I think it was. And we was doing a scene where he came into a shop that I was working in. And again, the same. There was a bumblebee. In the middle of the scene, there was a bumblebee. And Kayvon just kind of followed this bee around. Mid-scene, I wasn't expecting it. And he was just kind of, and he looked and he went, is that your bee? But he took something so like instinctive. Yeah. And just made it like Shane in the background just couldn't stop laughing. Oh, he never made the cut.
He's one of them blokes though. He can do that, can't he? Like,
he's incredible.
Just switch in and out of like, I remember because we were in Sheffield, weren't we? And someone pulled over to ask him directions and he literally just turned into a local. Like, out of nowhere. Because he's a southerner, isn't he, Kayvon?
Yeah.
I know when he went, no, mate, don't know where it is. I think you go down there, and I was like, what the fuck? Man?
His voices are incredible. You know,
it's unbelievable.
Like, there's a guy who's in This Is England, and I'm obsessed. I've literally forgot. It's terrible. I forget his name. I think he played Woody's dad.
Oh yeah. Like, he's brilliant.
He's been in everything I've done right since that. I write parts for him, little parts. He's in King Gary. He was in the action team. Like, I'm obsessed with him. I think he's genuinely one of the funniest people I've like ever worked with. It's terrible. I can't fucking remember.
Yeah, I've done
his
name. The same. But he does a lot of fringe shows and that in Manchester. Yeah, like, quite a bit in Manchester.
He just plays things in a way of so earnest. You know, like, and it's like some of my favourite stuff of because like what's with This Is England. What I liked was like every one of you had moments where you were like hardcore drama. But then you also have moments like Gadget, for example. I think like the film and then maybe the first, it was a bit more comic relief. And actually in the last one, you're like fucking big drama. But I liked it when Tomo became more like the comic relief of it because he was such a sad case like by the end of it. And like when you're playing it, like sort of put upon, it's a really nice thing, to, you know. But it's like that guy though, when he came to set, he came to audition for something I was making years ago. And me and the guy I write and direct with, James DeFond, who's like my I've known since I was 14. We were just obsessed with him, and we were like, this guy. He didn't do any of the words on the audition tape, but everything we've ever done since, we just write a little part for him that becomes like in King Gary, he plays the boatmaster. And then we spent like a whole day on this boat with him, and every take was just different.
He was really good in there. Did you watch him in The Office when he played his agent in the Christmas special of The Office?
Yeah.
So good.
It's so annoying. I've lost for his name, but he's genuinely one of the best. Like, and I saw him as Woody's dad, and that's where I was like, oh, we should get this guy in because he's just got good comic timing. Mm. And I think that's the thing that I like when you can't, like, when people, that improvisational nature just of life, that where people are like, I'm just going to go with something. I'm going to do something that's going to be a little different. And that people would script a moment. And that's what, for me, that's what people who have a party trick or something that they've learned, something that they've practiced for ages to somehow put into a night is like you're scripting that moment. So instead of going out and going with it and just going, I'm fucked, I'm going to walk on my hands. That's fine. But if you're like, oh, at some point, I'm going to walk on my hands.
So what about if I want to go, oh, I'm fucked, I want to floss?
Yeah, but the floss is you've spent ages learning how to floss. Because you know that at some point you're going to do a moment.
Well, my mate Eve, who walks on his hand, he was a gymnast when he was young, so he's learned.
So he's a gymnast, so that's a skill he's got as a gymnast, right? So he can work with his hands. But that comes from life of skill. He didn't go to a gymnast as a gymnast and practice to have a gymnast to go, why are you doing this? Do you want to go to the Olympics? No, hopefully when I go to parties and nights out, I can walk around on my hands.
You've got Lewis Smith actually punked us all and he just wants to walk on his hands.
Let me tell you that if there's someone who needs a fucking party trick on a night out or any conversation, it's Lewis Smith. He's a stray.
I think you've proved the point. I totally get it. Like when you said it, I was a bit like, yeah, like party tricks are a bit, but I think you've nailed it. I think it is that case of people preempting that.
Yeah.
You need that almost to make them a little bit more interesting or funny or just better to be around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's like if someone turns around to you and says, have you got a party trick? You're like, why? Is my conversation that fucking boring?
Exactly. That is everything. If someone turns around to you any night and says, you got a party trick or anything you could do.
Drink up, fuck off.
End up like the fucking Hulk with a bag over your head, a fucking shoulder, trying to find a new town.
But no, mate, thank you for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me.
It's been quality. Thanks, mate. It's been we've been trying to get you on for ages, haven't we? So it's good to finally get sat down and it's been brilliant, mate. Thank you very much.
I did say to Tom, I said, right, we'll meet by Tom.
What did you say?
I told you that we'll meet by Tom, but by the time you got Daniel had done one.
I love it, mate.
That's great, man. Oh, chaps, it's been a real joy. Thank you very much. I'm glad to. It feels like therapy. I've got that off my chest.
Yeah, it's nice. This is why we like it, because people just come on, have a little moan, and then you can go about your day then, you know.
All I wanted in the video now is us three having a drink in London with Tom on one side of me flossing.
But Tom, when I spoke to Tom, I gave him a quick ring just before this, and I said, what are you doing? And he said he was just waiting for the weekend league. Which for anyone who doesn't know is a weekend league on FIFA, so you've got to qualify for it. And I said to Tom, I went, oh, I only got one win last week. And he was like, is that it? So how many wins do you get, Pirate? So, sorry to 15? Just keep going on. He said, what?
No, about 15. 11, between 11 15 and 15.
15 wins.
Yeah.
Shit, we need to get a game on. We need to get a game on and we'll stream it on Twitch for the Overrated Everything people. Me and you versus FIFA.
We should do that all day long. That'd be a fun thing. Are you good, though?
Well, clearly not, if I can only get one win and you get 15.
How many games did you play?
I reckon I only played about 11, 12 maybe.
Yeah, I get angry.
It's the only thing that makes me angry.
Man, that's the difference. It's cathartic. It's you've got to go into it like it's an actual game of football and think, if I lose my temper, I'm going to lose the game.
Yeah.
It's like, I used to get really annoyed by it, and then I just...
You've been spending too much time with Harry Redknapp, mate. I'm telling you now. Yeah, you do. You lose your head, don't you?
Oh, mate. And then I just thought, I'm a 40-year-old man and I'm crying because of a computer game. I need to fucking sort this out.
Right, legend, mate. We'll get a game on. Nice one, Tom. Thanks, mate.
All the best. Love you both. Take care. Be safe. Bye. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
I hope Tom's watching because I want to do this for him. Look, I'm doing this. Go on, Tom.
Right, audio listeners, Thomas
Turgoose is flossing.
Flossing. Another watch for YouTube for that, just for that. Yeah, great chat. Wicked. Loved having Tom on. Again, another one of those where I think we have two kind of podcasts, don't we? We have one like Johnny Harris's, yeah, where me and you just sit and listen and that's beautiful. And then we have one like Tom's where I reckon that's more of the one where people would say it's like being down the pub with mates, which is that we really love to get.
It was a real, really nice episode with Johnny, and I do really enjoy them sorts of deep, meaningful ones, you know, because these people are obviously want to send a positive message, but these ones are also, you know, they're probably my favorite ones because they're very much what the podcast was about at the beginning, if that makes sense, or at least how we came up with the idea.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's important for us, and we know you guys like it, and obviously, like, nowadays, it's a bit strange because, you know, I used to listen to podcasts a lot, like, on my way to London for auditions or whatever. I know a lot of people kind of staying at home now still, well done, so it's a bit weird to then listen to three guys as though we're down a pub, but it kind of makes me miss the pub more and want that back, which
I'm not missing the pub. I don't think.
What? You're not?
Not really. I'm missing socialising with my mates.
Yeah. I mean,
and I'm missing a proper like pint of Peroni.
That's it. That's what I'm missing the most. Like a pint on draft. Just before the lockdown, I got really into drinking bitter. And bitter out of a can just doesn't do it for me now. Like,
no, I've never been a bitter drinker.
I never was. The only time I used to drink it is I used to nick my dad's cans and John Smith's and take them to the park when I was a kid. And it was the only thing. And you just used to kind of force it down. But I love it now. It's fucking amazing. I grew up. Anyway, enough about that.
Yeah, you've got old, but you've not grown up.
Do you want to introduce next week's guest? Pardon?
Yeah, I'd love to, yeah. Yeah. Next week's guest is a friend of mine, and we have just made a film about his entire life. The film is called Creation Stories, written by Irvine Welsh, directed by Nick Moran. Pardon?
Who you might obviously know from writing, you know, the novel of Trainspotting, Filth, etc., etc.
Yeah. Directed by Nick Moran, and it's about a guy called Alan McGee, who is responsible, I'm going to say responsible, for Oasis. He along with a few of his friends, started Creation Records. And yeah, I mean, they discovered the likes of Primal Scream and Oasis and plenty of other great bands. So Alan sat down with us virtually. And yeah, so I mean, that was quality. I mean, I've always looked up to Alan McGee anyway.
Yeah.
So when he came on the podcast, I mean, and when I met him when we was doing the film, and yeah, I mean, his quality. He's quite an addictive voice.
Yeah.
He's got a great voice.
And again, another proper good storyteller.
I mean, he lived a life.
Lived a life. And one of the stories that stood out for me, which will be great when the listeners hear and look forward to it, is he stopped a certain Gallagher brother punching a certain ex-London mayor, now unfortunately running the country. So that'll be that's next week anyway. We'll talk more about that, I guess, before next episode. As always, guys, like, subscribe. What else do you do on YouTube, Tomo? You're a TikTok wizard now. What do you do?
TikToker? I don't really know.
Like, subscribe, tell your friends.
Subscribe. Tell your boys. Tell your girls.
If you do watch this on YouTube, just press subscribe, and then you'll get notifications and stuff. If you listen to it on any sort of audio app, you can subscribe and follow as well. Please do that. Please rate and review.
Yeah.
It just helps us get the word out.
Look at us. You can tell it's Sunday night and we was both drinking last night. We're both just dead wacky.
I'm in my pyjamas and everything.
Let's do a podcast drunk.
We should. We should definitely get drunk.
Yeah. A pubcast.
Pubcast. Right. Peace, team. See you next week, guys.